This is the kind of affirming garbage that this is leading to the weakness in the church, which is why young men are leaving and why older men are kind of like just checking out too. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Cashiered Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and my friends, I moved recently, so this is why you're seeing the new setup. My friends, you know what? We need to talk a little bit more about Christian men and why I believe that a lot of the church is lacking in good leadership. Now, there are men out there who actually give good advice. This is an unavoidable fact. However, the problem is a lot of people have a trouble bridging the bridge between truth and ideals. And to me, that's the whole premise of trying to live a life that of virtue. But at the same time, I mean, you can't avoid the realities and you don't want to live in La La Land and try to give solutions to problems that you're not even willing to address. And that's one of the reasons why I hold a lot of pastors to a high standard. I talk about relationships, especially on the show, because a lot of men, we have stories about relationships. We've all been through the ringer, and a lot of us, unfortunately, we get gaslit into thinking that we're the problem when in fact we could definitely improve on certain things. But a lot of people, they just tell you to just go for it. If you ask somebody about marriage, more times than not, what they'll tell you is just go for it. Just do it. Just do it. As if it's something that you should just be doing. And they'll cite Bible verses, usually from the letters of Paul. And the problem is, and we'll dive into videos that we'll break down in a second. But the reason why I'm talking about Christian leadership is because a lot of young men, they're not going to church. They have no desire to go to church. And the reason for that is because the Christian men, unfortunately, are all too often henpecked husbands. And men look at them and they say, wait a minute, why would I want to be like this guy when I could be like Andrew Tate? Or I could be like these other guys who seem way more masculine, who seem to be doing all these things that they want to do. But the problem is a lot of the Christian men, the leadership that they see, whether it's online or in person, they see these men and they're like, I don't want to be like this guy. He might talk a good game, but his lifestyle, I don't like it. His relationship with his wife doesn't look very masculine. His kids don't seem to respect him. How many of us have known pastors' kids or have heard of pastors' kids who go way off the deep end? Their parents are supposedly super holy, but then the kids go off and they go on adult entertainment websites, or they go out and they do something ridiculous, or they go into like being completely good for nothing losers. How many of us see that? Now, it's not 100% on the parents, but you gotta ask yourself, do I want to become like the people that I listen to? How many of us have been surrounded by people who we thought talked a good game? Then we looked a little closer, whether it's at the relationship or the application thereof, and we're like, wait a minute. This guy says that you need to be a strong man, but meanwhile, he's weak and henpecked in his marriage. Meanwhile, his kids don't respect him. Meanwhile, the people in the community are laughing behind his back. Younger men care about these things. And even older men, they look and they see these things and are like, I don't want to be part of this. And so, we need to talk about the lacking of leadership in the Christian church. But without further ado, what I really want to do is pull up the first video of the day. And one of the reasons why I'm really critical on the Christian church is because it's the biggest religion on the planet. And I've grew up in the Christian church. And I've seen a lot of these issues. And I want to highlight them. And one of the biggest problems I see right now is this affirming church argument. Have you guys ever seen, whether it's on TikTok, YouTube, or maybe you've even seen them in your town, these churches that fly the rainbow flag, or they advertise online, they're on gaychurches.org, they're on these websites, they get this interaction on TikTok or whatever, and you think to yourself, wait a minute, these same people who would shame MGTOW guys for being toxic are literally embracing the philosophy that got Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. Now, I'm not sitting here and telling you that you should hate people. What I'm telling you is what the Bible actually says about this. And it's not black or white. I mean, it's very black and white. It's not something you're just like, no, we can bend it here and bend it. No. But the other thing that frustrates me is when I talk about biblical bachelorism, I don't say it because I want to necessarily change the Bible. I say it because, look, this is the world we're living in. And in my opinion, you can either get on board with reality or you can get out of my way and stop giving me this garbage about how this is what things should be. Oh, well, this is what I say it should be. Let's have a conversation. No. No. This is the reality. I don't care whether you like it or not, because this is what it is. Now, speaking of what it is, let's look at this video and see, what do you think is fair, foul? Let's jump into it.
Now, there was a time in my life when I found the non-affirming arguments to be convincing, but that is no longer the case. To be very honest with you all, I'm not exactly sure when it happened. It wasn't like a switch that flipped. It was more like a dam that slowly developed cracks until the whole thing gave way.
What?
See, the cracks started forming when I met LGBTQ plus folks who deeply loved and pursued God.
What?
And the cracks got bigger when I met queer Christians who had suffered through the horrors of conversion therapy but still followed Jesus.
Okay, how does this make sense? This is the kind of weak leadership I'm talking about. It's one thing to say, hey, look, this is a reality. A lot of people participate in this lifestyle. And, you know, God bless you, do what you want. But don't sit there and try to tell me that you're above reproach, because you're not. None of us are. But a lot of people want to pretend like, oh, this is totally cool. Nothing to see here. Move along. No, there is something to see here. This is one of the tenets. Okay, you want to know why I don't like this? Let's break this down piece by itemizing piece, shall we? Number one, the reason why this non-straight behavior is bad for the church is because the whole culture is a culture of death. That's what it leads to. No life comes from these relationships. When you look at a male and a female relationship that produces children, that is a culture of life. There is life being brought forth in that relationship. Now let's transition, no pun intended, over to the rainbow community. How many of them have children that are biologically theirs, number one? Or number two, how many of them are creating a culture of life instead of a culture of death and destruction? I mean, do I need to answer? You know the answer. The answer is they don't. The answer is they want you to be okay with them. I'm okay with them. Do whatever the hell you want. Just leave me alone. I'm a very libertarian in that regard. But don't try to sit there and tell me that I'm not a holy person if I don't agree with you. No, I could cite so many different places where you are 100% dead wrong. And you want to know how wrong you are? There used to be, and still is to this day, scripture from the Old Testament that gets cited by the radical Muslims in the Middle East, and they use it to delete people like this off of buildings. I'm not saying this should happen here. I'm saying it's happening over there. They cite the Old Testament. They cite the Quran, which comes from the Jewish Old Testament, the 12 books of Moses and the Torah. And that's exactly where we get the Bible from. The Old Testament is the exact same thing. This was not practically accepted. This should not be accepted. Tolerated? Yeah, we live in a tolerable society. Do I need to sit there, though, and pretend like you're being a virtuous person? No, I do not. In fact, I'm not going to do it. But then let's go back. Look at this pastor. Look at him. This is the kind of affirming garbage that this is leading to the weakness in the church, which is why young men are leaving and why older men are kind of like just checking out too. Because this is the kind of stuff we're hearing more and more, and this is why Christian leadership needs to be addressed.
And they got even bigger when I met people right here at Restore who'd been kicked out of churches because of their sexual orientation and gender identity, and yet they still wanted to be a part of a church family.
Oh, you mean like the church actually did what it's supposed to do, which is hold people accountable, give them chances, and they actually did what Paul lays out? Okay.
And then, when I began to dig deeply into Scripture, the dam burst. And I began to apply the same exegetical and interpretive approach to the six passages about homosexuality that I do with everything else in Scripture. I began asking questions about context and culture and language.
Give me the Scripture now, because you're trying to pull the same argument that I pull, and I can guarantee you it doesn't work.
And when I did, I came to the conclusion that the homosexuality being forbidden in the Bible bears no resemblance to the loving, monogamous, spirit-filled same-sex relationships of my queer siblings.
Oh, no.
I do not believe that same-sex relationships are inherently sinful. Now, they can't.
Oh, my land. What? Then how do you explain these people used to get stoned, and not the kind of stone you hear now? No, I mean get rocks thrown at them until they bled out in the street. What? Yo, this is crazy, bro. This is nuts. Nuts!
Can be. But in the same way a heterosexual relationship can be.
Oh my goodness, the cop-out.
Quality or Christ-centered love in the middle of it. So I believe that God desires for any relationship, heterosexual or homosexual, to be covenantal and monogamous.
Okay, get this loser off my show. This is a disgrace. Name me one place where that actually works. See, this is another reason why men are leaving the church. They say, wait a minute. So you'll give these people the green light, but when it comes to me asking for traditional women, asking for you to hold women accountable, asking you to hold men accountable, when I ask for the relationship marketplace to be, for you to actually call things out for what they actually are, when people want to double dip, when people want to step out on their marriage, when people want to do things around, the, you know, mess up their young life and then come in the church at 30 years old and be like, oh, hi, I'm here for my good Christian man, where is he? Or condemning people for not wanting Chad, Mr. Giga Chad with the muscles and everything, who's also a Christian guy. Oh, there's nothing to be said there, but apparently it's okay for the Rainbow Rider community to suddenly come in here and say that, oh, there's no sin in that. Oh, no, absolutely not. It's not like Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed largely because of that. No, no, of course not. That's not important. Sorry if you heard that. But you know what? Let's go to another reason why men are leaving the church. And this video has music on it, so I'm going to mute the video. I'll narrate it for you. But let's actually jump into this. And this, my friends, hits home to a lot of men. So we're going to jump into this right now. Here's what it says. It says, I have been single for 6 years. And there's this gentleman who's going to narrate what he's been through. And you know what? I'll turn the audio on. I'm about to pause it frequently, though, because otherwise it's going to give me a copyright. Let's see what he has got to say.
Say it.
He says, most girls are... Wait, hold on. Sorry, my mic's in the way. I gotta move it. Most women are interested till they find out that I'm into full-time ministry. Oh, where are all the good Christian women at now? Where are they at now? I don't drink and go to clubs. So that's good. Good on you, man. I haven't had sex, an alumni and sex before marriage. He prays and he's okay, good.
Cause you're beautiful.
He wants to change. Like quoting Bible. Okay, see, this is the kind of guy. Let's go back to the beginning right here. Hold on. This man right here, this is the story of so many Christian men. Right here. I've been single for 6 years, and as soon as they find out that I'm a very devoted guy, I'm not one of these phony, guys who's like, oh yeah, I'm Christian. Meanwhile, I do beer keg stands at the frat house on the weekends, and I look like Giga Chad, and I do all these edgy, dangerous, cool things that make me look sexy. Oh, so all of a sudden, oh no, women care about all that. Oh, you don't drink? Oh, you're lame. Oh, you don't go out to the club? Oh man, you weird. This dude's creepy. In other words, you're a boring, normal guy. See, women don't like that. I don't care if it's. Women tend to like exciting dudes, especially when they're young. This changes when they get a little bit older, as I've personally seen, and statistics tend to bear this out as well. But my friends, this is the experience of the average Christian guy. He hears women say, oh, I want these Christian men. Where are they? I can't find them. Meanwhile, they're in a church, surrounded by young Christian men who are trying to not have sex before marriage, who are trying to do the right thing, be a nice guy, follow the commandments, do all these things, and they are the ones who are losing. They are the ones who feel unfulfilled. They are the ones who are crying to God, asking them, God, why is this happening? And it's really pretty simple. The answer is, you have been given the wrong prescription. Your Christian leaders have not looked at the culture and said, wait a minute, these same women who are complaining about there being no Christian men are still hooking up with their ex. They're still going out to the nightclubs. They're still going out and getting drunk at the bar and going home with Chad at 2 o'clock in the morning. They're still doing these things. And for people who want to sit here and tell me, Austin, that's not happening. How can you say that? What do you mean? How can I say that? It's called double dipping. This has been going on forever. This is nothing new. People just don't like it when you call it out. They want to live and they want to say, oh, I want to be a good girl over here. But then on the other side, they're like, yeah, I'll be a good girl at face value. But I'm going to go out with a sneaky link. But I'm still going to do all these things. See, that's the problem right there, gentlemen. This is the biggest problem we have today. Sorry, my camera's getting a little out of focus right now. My friends, this is one of the biggest problems we have in the society today. Give me 1 second. But my friends, this is the average experience for the average man right here. This guy right here, he seems like a good guy. He seems like he's trying to do the right thing. And where is that getting him? He's not getting what he wants. He is not winning. See, he could go out there and be Pookie or Tyrone, but guess what? He wants to go out there and be the bad guy. He'll get the results he actually wants. I'm not telling him to do that, but I'm saying that this is one of the frustrations of men who try to do the right thing. They try to do the right thing, and then they get penalized for doing the right thing because they're boring, they're lame, they're not interesting, they're too straight, they're gone too straight and narrow, they're boring, they're goofy, whatever you want to say. And then the only women who are really interested in that are women who are like 30, 35, 40, who have been ran through and they've been doing all these things and now they want to settle down with that guy. But now that guy can't really build with that woman because the woman's already seen and done everything. He can't take her on trips because she's already been on trips. He can't take her to nice restaurants because she's already been there. He can't give her a whole lot that she hasn't already got from most other men that she's been with in the past. And that's part of what men want to do. And the Christian leadership is not addressing this issue. Instead, they're just telling men to get married. Instead of warning them that marriage is not the same thing, the relationship marketplace is not the same, the laws are not the same, the culture is not the same, the women's mind spaces are not the same, the men we're being told and taught are not the same, but of course, the prescription should still be exactly the same. I disagree? And speaking of that, let's give you another example of exactly what we're talking about. Let's go to this gentleman and see what he got to say.
I'm 28, never had a boyfriend. There's no good Christian man where I live. Well, there's really only two solutions.
Okay, I want to pause. Let's read exactly what this woman says. She says, I'm 28, never had a boyfriend. I know who this woman is. You're 28, you never had a boyfriend. That means you've been on the carousel since you were 16. 18 at best. You've been out here in these streets. You never had a boyfriend. That means you've been out here in these streets. It means you've been out here getting piped by all these dudes. Gentlemen, I don't know who in the world told you this, but women are not sugar spice and everything nice. Sex for women is one of the easiest things they can do. Now, are there some women who choose not to do that? Yes, I'm sure that there are. Are they the norm? Absolutely not. No, they are not. So let's go back to what this woman says. She's 28, never had a boyfriend. I mean, she's been in these streets. Since I've tried dating after getting my law degree. So she's a lawyer. Another red flag. Just so you know, as someone who just finished getting his degree in pre-law, I'm going to tell you right now, most lawyers are A, either alcoholics, or B, they do some really debaucherous things to get to, because their job is so hard and their environment is so competitive, they find things to cope with that. Let's see what else she got to say. She says she gave up. Oh, in other words, now she's just resigned herself to being pookied and shouted in Tyrone. There are no good Christian men where I live. False. There are no Chads who are Christians. There are no men who are really attractive, really high earners, who are also Christians. See, here's the problem, gentlemen. When she says men, you think she's talking about you. She's not talking about you. Talking about the guys she's actually attracted to. Because all other men, they don't exist. They might as well be robots. They do not exist. On the other hand, the men she's attracted to, they can afford to do these bad behaviors. Why? Because they have multiple women. I'm not justifying away what they're doing. I'm saying this is what it is. That's just the way it goes. Let's see what he has. What's his advice for her? I know what I would say.
For you, ma'am, either. One, then you move to a city where there are more Christian men. You have to put yourself in proximity of these kind of men. Or you go down to your local churches near you, or where to the place you're about to move, and you go into the single ministries and get matched. What the hell are all these Christian men out here? Why are these churches not matching y'all up together?
See, sir, here's your problem. You're trying to give her a solution, and you think that she's actually going to listen to you. No, these types of people, they don't listen to anybody but their own feelings. It's the only thing they listen to, okay? See, she could find a good Christian man. That's not the issue. The issue is he doesn't have He's not built. He doesn't have a nice Ferrari, or he doesn't. He's not that guy. He's not the super attractive guy. He's not the guy that she would go up to at a bar, the guy who would approach her on the street. He is not that guy that she actually wants. That is her issue. That is why she's upset. Because there are men out there who would marry this woman despite the fact that she has more red flags than the Chinese Communist Parade. She would get married. But she doesn't want to get married to a guy that she thinks she's settling for, and that's what she thinks she's going to do by associating with these men that she's talking about. When she says good Christian men, there are no gumps who are also high earners, who are super attractive, who are all these things that she's not telling you. I've said this before on the show. You can equate it to a job application, okay? You want to apply to be her boyfriend. She'll say, I want a guy who's a good man, he's nice, he's kind, he does all these things, right? And you're thinking to yourself, okay, yeah, that sounds like me, I could do that. And then you scroll down and you look at the prerequisites. At a job, you're like, must have a college degree, must have X years of experience, must have a good recommendation. All these things are prerequisites to apply. In the woman's case, it's must be this type of guy, must make this amount of money, must be this, must be like my ex, but only the best parts, not the worst parts. And he's like a Frankenstein's monster of these amalgamations of the guys she's been with in the past, but only the best parts, the parts that she liked. Toxic enough, but not toxic to the point where it's corrosive, but toxic enough to where you're not boring. You see how it's ridiculous, right? But this is what women actually want. But they can't say that because then they'll get roasted. So instead they'll say things like, there are no good men out here. No, that's false. There are no men that are good, that fit the descriptions that you have in your head, but there are good Christian men out here who would marry this woman really quickly. Problem is, she doesn't want those men. And thank God for those guys, because then they would get probably right down the primrose path to divorce or to a sexless marriage. But again, this is what men don't talk about in the church. Instead, what they talk about is men being the problem and not women being part of the problem when it comes to, oh, it's always men are the issue. No, it's not. It's the women are the ones who are often avoiding accountability. My friends, let me know what you think. I know that my camera's been bugging today. I'm sorry for that. I'm going to try to fix it on the edit. But my friends, let me know what you think, because I know a lot of you can identify with what we're talking about. A lot of you grew up in the church. A lot of you have been in the church. And a lot of you understand what we're talking about right now. And so we need to really have this conversation about why in the world this is going on and why we're allowing this. Why we're not holding people accountable. We need to have that conversation. Because a lot of pastors, they're not doing it because they're afraid. My friends, take care of yourselves. I'm out of here. Peace.